everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And you're running the show today. I've decided to take the week off, and you guys can go ahead and, you know, you can call in, and Brian will connect you, and you can talk to each other. What do you think of that, Brian? You want to handle this, too? Huh? Oh, my, what a week. What a week. I thought last week was stressful. Oh, no. That was a warm-up. That was a warm-up. But, hey, things kind of calmed down here at the end of the week. So, whew, man. All right. So, Baltimore County Sunday hunting. Yeah. Delegate Cluster put a bill in to advance Sunday hunting in Baltimore County. 2 days. First Sunday of November for bow hunters and the first Sunday of the deer firearm season, Thanksgiving weekend. That's it. That's two Sundays. Well, the county delegates decided that they didn't want that bill to go forward. There's 20-some of them. You know, the vote was 12 against and 8 for and, eight, you know, and two abstentions. So the House bill died. But God bless Senator Johnny Ray Sollings. Johnny Ray Sollings says, you know what? I'm a senator. I got my own bill. Senate Bill 378, I'm going to put that in, and I'm going to push my bill. And we thought that was admirable, quite frankly. Those of us in the Maryland Hunting Coalition thought that was an admirable thing to do. In conversations with Senator Solling on Blaze and Camo Day, we had seen him when we were down there to testify on the repeal of Senate Bill 68, talked to him. So, you know, the way to communicate, apparently, these days is through Facebook. So we sent out information to folks on Facebook and said, think about this. Senator Johnny Ray Sollings, Baltimore County, District 6, is standing up for hunters in his very first term. He's pledged to advance his bill, Senate Bill 378, to expand Sunday hunting in Baltimore County for two Sundays. Despite the vote in the House committee that here's our bills. Oh, no. Despite the vote in the House delegation, Senator Solling supports hunters. He sits on the Senate committee that hears our bills. This lawmaker deserves our support. Baltimore County hunters, do not abandon our allies. Show up next Tuesday to support his bill. And we got 25 likes on that on Facebook. 25. Five people commented. Four people shared that with their networks. Now, that's not huge, but 25, you know. So then we said, look, if you plan to support us, if you plan to support Senator Sollings, get down there and testify. And that got four likes and two shares. And then last chance, Tuesday, 1 p.m. in the Senate House, in the Senate office building. And that got five likes and three shares. And come on, hunters, let's go. So, who showed up? 8,950-some licensed hunters in Baltimore County. 8,950-some. That's fully 10% of the entire amount of licenses sold in Maryland. Sunday hunting, Baltimore County. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We want Sunday hunting in Baltimore County. Okay. Can you testify? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had three people show up. Two residents of Baltimore County who sat in the audience, which was fine. We told them we needed to, you know, load the audience with a couple dozen hunters. You would have thought that people would have just shown up to support, you know, a hunting bill. Three people showed up. One of them was from Carroll County, hunts in Baltimore County. And we congratulate those guys for showing up, and thank you very much from the bottom of our heart. And one guy testified from Baltimore County in support of the senator's bill. Nobody from his district, by the way. One guy. Me. I'm going to ask you a question. If Sunday hunting in Maryland, and everybody, yeah, we like Sunday hunting. If Sunday hunting in Maryland went away, who would you blame? Who would you blame? If Sunday hunting all across Maryland were to just suddenly disappear, who would you blame? I'd like to hear your answer to that. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Why aren't we talking about the perch run? Well, you know what? We may have a perch run this week. I don't know if that water temperature is going to get warm enough to get up to mid-40s or not. Maybe by the middle of the week. Who knows? Maybe late in the week. Who knows? I'm still planning my ice fishing trip to Deep Creek Lake on the 13th, so we'll see if that works out. I suspect it will. There's probably 4 feet of ice on the lake. Been a little cold. Thank God we're not Boston, but this is our version of it. How does the cold weather affect your mood? Does it put you in a bad mood? Does it make you happy? Do you get up every day and just want to go to work and enjoy your life? Or do you just kind of slog through it and go, God, I wish I could kill that groundhog? You know, the one that forecasted 6 more weeks of winter, that guy. Hell, he's so deep in his burrow, you couldn't reach him with a cannon, trust me. Now, de Blasio, yeah. You know, he killed that poor little groundhog last year. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Did you ever drop something and not be able to? I mean, that was what it looked like. Oh, crap! There he went. The groundhog, and this is in 2013. De Blasio was just sworn in as mayor of New York. They got this poor little groundhog out of the Bronx Zoo, and de Blasio dropped the thing on its head, killed it. Oh, well, zoo officials said, we don't think a mayor dropping a groundhog had anything to do with it. Oh, really? Crushed skull, fractured vertebrae, internal injuries. Hey, there, we got one caller. I want to talk about rockfish. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, I've been reading this series of articles in the newspaper.
Yep.
About commercial watermen.
Oh yeah, they're horrible, aren't they?
Well, some can be
bad guys, but you know, what's the article have to say about
it? Well, the problem that I've identified is this. Forget the individuals involved in setting nets and taking tons.
Oh, you're talking about the illegal nets that were set?
Yeah, the gill nets that were set.
Prior to the season to target the big fish on their way into the bay. Yeah, those guys, aren't they going to jail and paying massive fines and things like
that?
Yeah,
$500,000.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's a life-changing event.
Yeah, $500,000. It might take,
yeah.
Might take me a couple weeks to raise that.
Well, plus a year out of your life. But here's the bigger problem that I see. Allegedly, what's going on is that many of the other people on Tillman Island are not criticizing these individuals because apparently they're the guys who got caught and everybody's doing it. Maybe not to that extent, but everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not everybody, but my point is that there's a culture,
yeah,
of being scofflaws, and the recreational fishermen are never going to have enough rockfish left when it's just the nature of their lifestyle that so many others are doing it. it's not just individuals who are being greedy. It's nobody's, very few people are criticizing them, and they say, oh, but they're good guys, and, you know, the guys active in the volunteer fire department and all. And that may be true. But the real problem is that there's just a culture of ignoring the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading about the church deacon and police volunteer guy, and I can't say his name right now, but we all know him as BTK.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Bind, torture, and kill, that guy that killed like 7 or 8 people.
Oh.
That guy, you know, hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Yeah, went to church every day, scout leader, that type of thing. I mean, maybe he was active in the volunteer fire department, too. I don't know. But I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. It's a culture. It's a wink, wink, nod, nod type of thing. And, you know, the recreational guy, look, there's recreational guys that catch over the limit and, you know, that type of thing, too. We have a different outlook on things. We go out and target the big spawning fish in the spring for the trophy season. Now, who's affecting more fish in the long term? The guy that goes out there and catches a net full, or the guy that goes out there and pulls a 40-inch sow out of the water and kills it before she spawned?
Both are bad, but it's a numbers game.
It is a numbers game. There's no question. But I mean, you got a million eggs in that female, and
yeah,
you know, and you got, you know, 20,000 fish in the gill net. So, you know, I see both sides. You know, I just, how do you solve the problem? As long as we're going to have a commercial fishery, and as long as we're going to have a recreational fishery, we're going to have people on both sides that are bad actors.
I think hiring more, you know, the government's response right away is we need to go from 288 to 400 police. More government.
Yeah, of course, more government. Yeah, of course,
more government.
Yeah, of course, more government.
I think it's a culture.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about that inside of that culture. As long as the Natural Resources Police continue to publish the police blotter and put those names out there in public, the watermen feel that that is an embarrassment. And if NRP would just stop blowing their own horn about it, okay, more people that are the good guys would be willing to work with NRP to root out the bad guys. Does that make sense?
It does.
Does that make sense?
The other thing, they quoted Judge Bennett as saying something to the effect that it has to require imprisonment. Fines are not enough. And I know in the case of white-collar crime, no matter how large the fines are, nothing focuses the mind of the white-collar criminal like the prospect of imprisonment.
That's true. That's true.
And by sending people to jail.
Right.
Or in this case, federal prison for a year and a day.
Well,
you don't have to do that, presumably. You don't have to do that too many times to put the element of fear in the back of somebody's mind when they're doing it.
Well,
if they get caught, this is really going to be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you're saying that a more severe penalty, not just threatened, but made real.
Yeah, when you're charging somebody $179,
right,
it just becomes a cost of doing business.
Yep.
When you charge somebody a year and a day out of their life, going to prison.
Yeah, it's a little bit more eye-opening.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
The thought of that prospect is probably enough to motivate a lot of people.
I would think so. I would think so. Well, let me ask you this, Mark. I value your opinion. We have a bill in the General Assembly right now, bill number 748. I don't know if you've looked at it or not, but it has to do with farmers shooting deer on deer management permits. And this bill puts forth the idea that we should allow the commercial sale of wild venison. When a farmer shoots a deer on a crop damage permit, he should be allowed to sell that. What do you think?
I don't have a problem with that.
You don't?
No, it does provide a bad incentive about where's the meat coming from.
Well, not even that, but the farmer doesn't own that deer just because it happens to step on his property. That deer belongs to the citizens of Maryland.
Yeah.
And I can envision rampant poaching.
Well, that's the problem.
I can envision a black market.
Right, because that's the incentive, is that you've opened a market and now you have to wonder, where is this deer coming?
Well, let's take a look at the American bison, or the passenger pigeon, or the canvasback duck around the turn of the last century. The commercial sale of a nation's wild resources is what led to the conservation movement that has restored deer populations, turkey populations, pronghorn antelope populations, elk populations to this country for all of us to enjoy. And if you open that door crack, I can't imagine the devastating effect that that would have on the deer herd in Maryland. I can't imagine it.
Well, you're probably right.
Well, thank you. All right. Mark, I appreciate you weighing in. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, just working.
Just working. Oh, it's your time of year, right?
Yeah,
of course.
Very lucky that I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, I'd have a different problem altogether.
Yeah, yes, you would. All right, brother. Thank you.
Have a good week.
See you, Mark. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I want to tell you that our inaugural Hunting Legacy Dinner and Benefit coming up Saturday, May 30th, to benefit the Maryland Hunting Coalition. It's coming up at Martin's in Westminster, and that's in the 140 Village Shopping Center, 505 Jermor, J-E-R-M-O-R Lane in Westminster, 21157, if you want to write that down and put that in your GPS. The menu is pretty good. Roast beef, steamed shrimp, roast turkey, all the salads and desserts, soft drinks and beer included. We're going to have gun raffles and bucket raffles, silent auction, live auction, door prizes and awards, and stuff like Benelli, Montefeltro shotgun, a CVA Acura mountain rifle, a Mission crossbow, guided hunts, Fowl Fuller's goose decoys, deer shoulder mount from Carter Taxidermy. Take a look at our website, Maryland Hunting Coalition. And I want to thank our buddy Barry Harden, who designed our website and did the banquet or dinner and legacy dinner and benefit flyer. You can download the flyer. You can print it out. He's also made it very easy for you to purchase tickets and see all the categories. There's now an online store on the Maryland Hunting Coalition website where you can make a donation if you like. You can purchase rally raffle tickets and maybe win some Orioles tickets for a future game and some other prizes. Just go on there, mdhuntingcoalition.org, and we appreciate that. Hey, the sale continues at Chesapeake Outdoors. 40% off all camo clothing, the winter clothing, by such manufacturers as Drake, one of the leading waterfowl manufacturers for outdoor clothing. Selected bows are on sale. Firearms are 10% off. A lot of stuff is for sale throughout the store. So you want to go ahead and check out the sales. And I know this. I know that the folks at Chesapeake Outdoors have been working very, very hard to stock the shelves for the upcoming, not only the perch run, but the upcoming rockfish season. They've got some very, very cool custom colors as far as, trolling lures, bucktails and umbrella rigs and things like that. They've got a lot of custom colors. They've got the big mojo heads. They're fully capable of spooling line. I know they got a new line winder not long ago, so they can spool a line on your trolling reels or your spinning rods or whatever. They'll take care of that for you. They're just doing their basic winter stuff, you know, selling out, sales, that type of thing, and getting ready for the upcoming season. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, exit 39B. Route 50, after you cross the Bay Bridge on Kent Island. That phone number, 410-604-2500, 604-2500.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for every recreational fisherman in Maryland. The eligible fish include all the game fish from the Atlantic to the clear, cold mountain streams up there in western Maryland, Deep Creek Lake, including more than 65 species in five categories: freshwater, Chesapeake Bay or tidal, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. That's right, there's an angler award for snakeheads and blue catfish and flatheads. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, you receive your official angler award certificate and an invitation to head to Sandy Point for the grand finale. There you could win a Tracker Marine Boat package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center, and even more. Avoid cabin fever. The fish are biting through the ice, or you know, maybe they might be shivering a little bit, but they're going to be biting here real soon. Hey, now's not the time to stay indoors. Well, maybe a little bit. But when the weather warms up this week, we want you to go fishing. Get your license and head out there. Catch some perch. The official rules are online at dnr2.maryland.gov/fisheries.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Cigarette scares me half to death. Oh, hey, who cares? Sounds like an evening at the White House. What can I say? 410 WCBM 680. Come on, 410-922-6680. I guess it's taken a while for the folks to roll over and wake up to listen to the show this morning. So the question remains, If you lose, if hunters lose all the Sunday hunting opportunities in Maryland, every day, all across the state, every day that we have available to hunt on Sundays, and some of those Sundays are, you know, I think there's 21 of them in Western Maryland. There's two in some counties. There's, you know, a couple more in a couple other counties. Whose fault is it? Who do you blame? 922-6680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number. What do you think the effect of having a commercial sale of wild venison would be? You think that would be good for the deer herd? You think that would be good for farmers? Do you think that would be bad for hunting? What do you think? Come on, folks. Don't wait till the last 15 minutes of the second hour to call in. That's not the way it works. You should have had your first cup of coffee down by now. Ah. Let's see. Ah, where did I find that? Let's see. U.S. Sportsman's Alliance. There we go. Ah. You can email me, too, by the way. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. The Humane Society of the United States is trying again, even after voters rejected their attempt to kill bear hunting in Maine. They're coming back after it again. Yep. Just months after a resounding defeat by Maine voters, the Humane Society has announced its plans to bring yet another ballot issue on bear hunting back to Maine. On Tuesday, February 24th, lawyers for the Humane Society of the United States and the state of Maine were in court to debate the lawsuit brought by Humane Society of the United States against the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. That suit sought to stop the state's wildlife experts from explaining to voters the true danger of HSUS bear hunting ban. Despite an overwhelming decision by the Maine Superior Court Justice Joyce Wheeler that sided with the state's right to provide comments, HSUS continues to pursue a legal challenge. This is the deal with our opponents, not only in Maine, but in Washington and in Annapolis. They never stop. Mike in Randallstown. What's up there, Mike?
Hey, Alan. How you doing this morning?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Just hanging in.
Yeah, man.
What's this business going on now with the ammunition? Now the president's trying to, what, take ammunition away from us again now?
Yeah, the president wants to ban what they're calling as armor-piercing ammunition. It's basically... the green tip ammunition that you buy in bulk for your 223 or your 5.56.
Right.
Okay. So there won't be any ammunition available if the president bans it for your popular AK-47 for target shooting or anything like that. You remember a while back when I told folks that Clyde's had gotten a barrel of ammunition in and told them what it was?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, people flock there. Well, that's the stuff. That's exactly what they want to ban.
Well, who's standing up against that and fighting for us all night?
Isn't that a good question?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we pay these politicians their salaries, their benefits, their pensions. You know, we really support these people financially to make them live the good life. Why doesn't somebody have the gonads to stand up and fight back for the hunters and people like that and the people that enjoy target shooting and all? Who in the state of Maryland is standing up for us as far as that's concerned?
Michael?
Yes.
When you stand in front of your sink this morning to shave your face.
Right.
Rather than look down at the sink, where do you look?
I look in myself. I got you. Well, aren't you getting a lot of support with your coalition?
You would think.
Oh, okay.
We get a lot of lip service.
I understand.
You see, this is part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants somebody else to do it.
Well,
and they will cheer on anybody who's doing it. But ask them to step up. Now, you said we pay our elected officials' salaries. Yes, we do. I mean, but they're paid by the taxpayers of the state of Maryland. But we have a bigger responsibility.
Right.
And that is whether we allow them to represent us or not. Here we've got over in District 6, Senator Johnny Ray Sollings.
Right.
New senator. Hey, let's support this guy. He's standing up for hunters.
Right.
And we have a handful of folks in the General Assembly that are standing up for hunters. We have a group of people there called the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus. These are folks who we can usually depend on to help advance, you know, our hunting privileges and stand up for fishermen and things like that.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we have this senator, Johnny Ray. Yay, Johnny Ray! Rah, rah, rah! Yay, buddy! That's the way to do it! Look, could you go and testify? Johnny Ray put a bill in to help Maryland hunters to advance Sunday hunting in Baltimore County. Can you help him out? And the answer is crickets.
I see.
See what I mean? When I ask the question, if Sunday hunting in Maryland goes away, who do you blame?
Then you would have to blame the hunters themselves.
We're the government, brother.
That's it.
We are the government. If we do not let our elected officials know what we believe and where we stand and what we expect of them,
right,
they will do what they damn well please. A friend of mine has a very favorite expression, and it's true. You look at the hunting community, and you see their inaction on their own issues.
Right.
And he says, you can't stop a whale from beaching itself.
Exactly. Well, I certainly hope they listen to you and they start taking some action to help you out, because if they don't, obviously they're just hurting themselves.
We now have a mechanism in place that has the attention and the support of that Legislative Sportsman's Caucus.
Right.
The Senate and the House, the bipartisan caucus. The leader in the House is Delegate Wendell Beitzel from Western Maryland. The leader in the Senate is Senator John Astle. And we have others who are advancing their issues in the General Assembly. Johnny Ray. God bless Johnny Ray. He is standing up for hunters every day he's there.
Right.
All right?
Uh-huh.
These are the guys that need political contributions. These are the guys that need, you know, the phone calls and the emails and that type of thing.
Understood.
Delegate Jay Jacobs is doing a great job. And others, there are others that are helping us as well.
Right.
And we will eventually, once the dust settles a little bit, we will eventually laud the ones that are helping us in the General Assembly as far as the hunting issues are concerned.
Right, right.
But the biggest thing is that the hunters have to take the initiative. They have to take the initiative.
Well, you would think with your every Saturday morning show and the way you talk about this issue that the hunters would come in and fully back you up. I'm sure there's thousands of them. You would think.
But, you know, the sad reality is they either don't know or they don't care. It's either ignorance or apathy.
Well, I'm sure they know out, because I'm sure they talk amongst themselves, and I'm sure they know. So what holds them back is beyond me. I don't understand that.
What's that again?
I say I'm sure they know, but what holds them back?
Well, you know, people are unsure.
Right.
You know, we tell them it's free to join the organization. We send them a newsletter. Right. Okay? That's unlike any of the conservation organizations that charge them, you know, $25 or $35 to join in and they get a magazine.
Okay?
Right. I want you to understand something. You know Bassmasters, right? You know, the big fishing organization that started off the big bass fishing tournament thing.
Well, I've heard of that, yes.
Okay, well, you know, we just had the Bassmasters Classic, and they've, you know, they assemble the top fishermen from around the country, and these guys pay entrance fees, and they get in there. Ray Scott. Ray Scott started Bassmasters organization for general members of the general public.
Right.
And everybody thought he started it to do a tournament trail. No. He started it because he wanted members so that he could build a subscription base for his magazine called Bassmaster. The subscription base grew and grew and grew and grew, and as his membership climbed and climbed and climbed, he charged more and more and more for his advertising.
Right.
That was the motivation for Bassmasters.
I see.
The motivation for the Maryland Hunting Coalition and the hope for support from the hunting community is this. We have all volunteers in our organization. Our advisors are volunteers. Our board members are volunteers. I'm a volunteer as the executive director.
Okay.
I don't get paid a salary. I don't get a dime from this organization.
Right.
One. There's no administrative fees other than maybe paying for some printing every now and then or something like that, or, you know, post office box or stamps or whatever we got to do.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yep.
The only person that is paid in our organization is our advocate in Annapolis. We have a year-round salary for our advocate, and he deserves every dime he gets. You got to be kidding me. I wouldn't get down there for 90 days and do what this guy does.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And not only does he do that in the 90 days of the session, in the time after the session, we're planning. We're meeting with people. We're doing, you know, what we need to do for the next session. When we're coming up to the session, he's been working since August on some of the bills that we have in there now.
Last August,
September, October, November, December, and then the session goes in January.
Right.
So we pay this guy a monthly fee, and that is who represents hunters and works for hunters in Maryland. All this is on the website. None of this is, you know,
right?
A secret,
right?
So that's what people, when they support our organization, that's what they're supporting, is representation in Annapolis, working
right.
for hunters.
So what you're saying, in effect, is you just need the support of the people that do the hunting.
Now, we need the support of the hunters to protect their own privileges.
Exactly.
And their heritages and their traditions and their lifestyle that we've come to enjoy here in Maryland. And believe me, it's not just the politicians that are after us. Humane Society of the United States is an opponent. The Maryland Horse Council is an opponent. Sometimes the Maryland Farm Bureau stands against some of the things that we've held near and dear.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes they stand up for us, but they do what's right for their constituents, the farmers.
Right.
And sometimes we butt heads with the farmers.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean, and I love farm. I mean, where would we be? What would we eat if it weren't for farmers?
Yeah, you know what?
You know, I support the farmers. I don't support the commercial sale of venison.
Right.
So there we go.
Well, you know what they say: no farms, no food.
Right? Now that's right, exactly right.
So,
but you know, I also don't want to see, you know, the law passed that allows the farmers to wipe out the deer herd either.
Oh, I agree with that. I'm not bumping the farmers up against you. You know,
neither am I. I mean, on Tuesday, the Farm Bureau testified in favor of Sunday hunting in Baltimore County. The NRA was there and testified.
Right.
And one hunter. One.
Wow! I can't believe it.
There were three in the audience. And I appreciate those guys, and they know who they are. Some of them listen to the show. Some of them follow us on Facebook. And you know, some of them are – all three of them were actually at Blazing Camo Day That's right. How active they are.
See? Right.
But anyway, Mike, got to roll. Appreciate the call.
Okay, I hope our conversation maybe will spur some of them along, Alan.
I hope you can spur some of them along, buddy. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. Let's talk to John in Queenstown, and then we'll take a break. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing? I just had my nice slug of coffee along with you there.
Good. What's up?
On a couple of topics you touched on this morning, about publishing the names of the lawbreakers that are stealing from all the citizens of Maryland.
Yep.
When they do that. And while some of them may feel some extra embarrassment about that,
no question,
that actually makes it much easier. I like to encourage that. It makes it much easier on those that are trying to do things in the right way. Because if you're in a small community someplace, you know that there's wrong things going on that are wrong. If you're reporting them and everything else, there's a lot of awkwardness there. And so there's less pressure to support law enforcement and keep things right and prevent a few from ruining it for everybody.
Well,
And so,
the way it works is that statement comes from the watermen. If they stop publishing our names, we'd be more willing to work with law enforcement.
No, that comes from a few scofflaws that are trying to stay hidden and don't want the pressure from the rest of their community to continue doing things outside the law and don't want the pressure. I say keep it on. Because the real people and the decent folks, the majority of them, will be supported by law enforcement then, and we'll see it out there, and the pressure won't be on the other individuals. It's no different than, you know, not having any support for the police in inner city Baltimore on major crime issues. No difference at all. So I'm saying increase it. Not only publish it, put it on Facebook. And have it said somebody looks up that person on Facebook, maybe says that there's a DNR person there, says, yeah, I jailed this guy. He's been convicted. Maybe have a judge post something on there.
Well, see, that's the issue right there. The unless it's a big case, okay, unless it's a big case, it doesn't get published. It does not, the conviction or the acquittal does not get published. See, the follow-up is, okay, John in Queenstown was caught for doing something illegal, and NRP charged him with A, B, C, and D, and his trial is on March 15th, okay? So John in Queenstown, or March 16th, whatever. You're John in Queenstown, March 16th comes and goes, and we don't hear another, and you're acquitted, and we don't hear another word about John in Queenstown, whether he was guilty, whether he was acquitted, whether his state couldn't make its case, whether he was, you know, pled out, whether he paid his fine, court costs. We don't hear anything else about John unless we actually go and look up John's name on the court records. That's what the thing is. Hey, you're arresting us, but you're not saying whether we were convicted or not.
And that's
there's no follow up.
And really, the upon arrest is the part that maybe I would like to see less publication on, because a person is presumed innocent until they're found guilty.
Exactly the point that the watermen are making.
But when they are convicted. Absolutely have that very public. When a person is actually convicted, have it very public, including on all electronic media. And if there's a, you know, public records out there in these days of big data, it's an easy pull to generate that and publish it.
Well, I think that's the way to do it. But they make the NRP makes the big deal about the arrest rather than the conviction.
Well, I think if you take the NRP's performance metrics and change them from arrest to convictions and measure it on real results there, that'll be, I think, better law enforcement all around.
Well, let's see what happens with the new administration.
I'm sorry to hear that the Baltimore Sunday hunting got a poor showing of support in person there during the hearings.
Well, The delegation. Listen, the delegation voted. The House of Delegates voted down the advancement of the bill 12-8. Okay, that was Cluster's bill. So the House rejected that side of it. Senator Sallings, with his Johnny Ray, I'll tell you what, he is a brave dude, and he sat up there and he told his story, and he had the support of the of me and the NRA and the Maryland Farm Bureau. That's who testified, four of us, and the Horse Council. They got up there with their emotional testimony, and their lobbyist said one simple statement, and he said, "Madam Chairman, this bill failed in the House," and that was his statement. And that told the committee everything they needed to know, that the bill wasn't going anywhere, and we continued anyway. So, you know, I mean, it's a brave stand. It's a stand. That's what it is. It's a stand.
I understand. And while a lot of people these days, you know, they may be busy during the week, all the excuses for not going down to a hearing during the day. But yet everybody wants to gripe about this and will spend hours either in on the phone talking to other people or BSing about this and griping. Or they'll sit down in a chat room and sit there and hammer away for hours on end.
Hey, John.
Yeah?
I want you to look up a term for me.
Yep.
Okay? Since you're eloquent in the electronic media. Look up the term SLACKTIVISM.
Okay.
Want me to say it again?
Yeah, shoot again.
SLACK.
Yep.
TIV. Mm-hmm. ISM.
Okay.
All right. Google that. Call me back next hour. I'll let you call me back the next hour if you want.
Well, we'll do that. But what I was going to say is that while all these things going on, everyone's sitting there being slack about that, the power to the legislators, if they really want something done like Sunday hunting, and they really can't bring themselves to form up any other way of communicating with their legislator, if they want to make do something, quit sitting there in a chat room, generate an old-fashioned real letter.
That's right.
To their legislator.
Yep.
And state their position, because not a form letter, not a copy of some old thing, put down their own words and put a real letter together, send in a few of those.
John?
And if you've been to the hearings, you've seen them say, well, so-and-so couldn't be here.
Right.
But they sent me these heartfelt letters.
Yep.
And will express that. That has impact.
John, I got to leave it at that. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good day.
You too. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. They're all geared up for fishing season. They're ready to rock and roll with the perch run when it shows up. And March is here. Trout season's right around the corner. They've got all the small baits and trout lures and that type of thing. They'll spool line on your reels for you if you like. They'll repair your rod. And now's the time also to take that old gun that wasn't working quite right. Or maybe that scope fogged up. Or maybe you just couldn't see that deer well enough. Time for a new scope. Time to get that gun into the gunsmith. Time to get that fishing rod repaired, that reel lubed up, line on those reels, and ready to go. When the weather warms up this week, Clyde's is ready with live bait and everything you need. And they even have a 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-3474, 247-FISH. That's right, Clyde's Sports Shop. Check them out. Clyde Sport is a website, or give them a call, 410-242-6108 at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. New location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Sun Tzu in The Art of War. He said, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, well, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Think about that. Barack Obama knows neither the enemy nor the great reservoir of strength and purpose of America.
The Sean Hannity Show on WCBM.
Well, Sean made a good point there. Yeah. If you know what the battle is and you know what your who your enemy is, well, then you can possibly pull out a victory. I like that, Sean. That was very nice. But to the hunters of Maryland, you can't stop a whale from beaching itself. So, look, we do this every Saturday. You know where to find me. Maryland Hunting Coalition. Facebook/MD Hunting Coalition. MDHuntingCoalition.org. Info@MD Hunting Coalition. News@MD Hunting Coalition. And more importantly, join@MD Hunting Coalition. Get out, stay out, stay safe.